No matter how much you meditated, it's always good to focus on the basics. If you're getting started, you need to know some guidance on what to look for, what questions to ask, what things to notice, what your range of possibilities might be. If you've been meditating for a long time, you suddenly find that you're on a plateau, nothing new is happening. For a long time, we're actually regressing. It's good to go back to reflect on how you got started, what the basic principles are, because there may be something you may have forgotten. So what are those basic principles? When the Buddha came to awakening, he described his awakening in many different ways, but the shortest was a principle of causality. When this is, that is. When the rising of this comes the rising of that. When this isn't, that isn't. From the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. This is called this-that conditionality. Because it's focused on things you see immediately in your present experience. We're not looking for causes behind what you can see. We're looking for things you can actually observe. You want to see patterns there. So we're going to be observing our mind right here as we focus it on the breath. Focusing on observing both the breath and the mind. We'll be doing things. It's not a passive, just watching things on their own kind of meditation. We're mastering a skill. It requires that you have a sense of what you're doing, what results you're getting, and what you can adjust. That principle of causality is actually two principles that intersect. One principle, when this is, that is, when this isn't, that isn't. And talks about things that occur immediately as a result of their causes. And when the causes go away, they go away as well. So as you meditate, sometimes you'll be looking for things that will give results right away. You focus on the breath a certain way, and you'll have certain sensations. Notice that. If you leave the breath, the concentration goes. The impact of what you just learned goes away as well. As for the other principle, from the rising of this comes the arising of that. From the cessation of this comes the cessation of that. That's causation over time. This is one of those cases where you won't see the results immediately. It also means that some of the things happening to you right now are not the result of what you're doing right now. They may be the result of something you've done this morning, yesterday, last week, last month, last lifetime, that you don't know. So you're going to be presented with a complex issue here. Some things you do right now will have an impact, and some things will not have an impact, but that doesn't mean they're not good. Simply that you run up against some past karma, which is why meditation gets complex. It's not a simple skill. What the Buddha does help you focus on is what you're doing in the present moment. Be very clear about that. And he gives some advice on what to do. So even though it may not be giving results right away, follow his advice as best you can. He describes breath meditation in terms of what he calls fabrication. There are the three fabrications that go into the way you put together the present moment. This is where causality comes in again. You've got potentials for feelings, potentials for an experience of the body right here, right now, potentials for thoughts, perceptions, awareness. But you have to fabricate them with an intention for you to actually experience them. So those are the things you focus on. Types of fabrication: bodily, which is the breath, the in and out breathing, which is the topic of the meditation. You focus on knowing now the breath is coming in, now the breath is going out. Notice the quality of the breath. This involves the next type of fabrication, which is verbal fabrication, what the Buddha calls directed thought and evaluation. It's basically the way you talk to yourself. You choose a topic to focus on, try to keep your thoughts directed to that topic, and then you make comments, ask questions, evaluate things. come up with new approaches, use your ingenuity. All of that is the evaluation. This is where the discernment comes in meditation. Because as the Buddha said, it requires both tranquility and insight to get the mind into concentration. If you get the mind into concentration, you've got to choose one topic, clear away all other topics in the mind. They may keep coming in, but you just don't pay attention to them. And you try to be ardent, alert, and mindful. Mindful means keeping something in mind, i.e. the breath, and whatever lessons you've learned from past meditation sessions. Alert, watching what you're actually doing right now, the results you're getting. And ardent, you're trying to do this well. This is what you talk to yourself about. Is this going well? If you're not sure, just keep on doing what you're doing. You don't have to change things too often. Sometimes the mind is beginning to settle down and you suddenly decide to do a thorough audit of the mind. And that destroys the concentration. Tell yourself, you've not got that much you've got to focus on. It's just the breath. Where is the breath? It's right here, coming in, going out. And as John Fuang once said, if you can doubt that, you can doubt anything. So trust in the fact that you can see the breath as it comes in, as it goes out. And if you stick with it, you'll naturally calm down without having to think about all these fabrications or principles of causality. But they will be there in the background if you need them. Probably the third type of fabrication, mental, is feelings and perceptions. Feelings are feeling tones, pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. Perceptions are the labels you put on things that identify what they are, what they mean, how important they are. As with the red light, you can identify the light as red. You can tell that it means stop. And you can tell yourself, this is important. I have to pay attention to these things. Those are all perceptions. In the case of the breath, you've got different sensations in the body. The question is, which ones count as breath, which ones don't? For the time being, think of your whole body as an area of breath movement, breath sensations. And you're trying to create feelings of pleasure. So if there's any tightness or tension anywhere in the body, this is where you use your directed thought and evaluation to ask yourself, how can I disperse those feelings of tension? Sometimes there seem to be bands of tension wrapping around your head or a ball of tension in the middle of your chest. It's a sign that you're pushing the breath too much. Here you bring in a perception. What seems to be solid and unyielding in the body is actually composed of atoms. Atoms have a lot of space in between them, in them. Try to make your attention as refined as possible so the breath can go through those spaces and gradually disperse them. Don't push any pressure on them, but just think of them dispersing, allowing them to disperse. Or you can have an image of a knife where the bands of tension, think of the knife cutting through the bands. Again, very delicately. Lots of ways you can use your perceptions to deal with feelings of discomfort in the mind. So you can see these fabrications are not separate things. It's not the case the breath is one thing, and unrelated to the breath is the way you talk to yourself, and unrelated to the way you talk to yourself are the perceptions and feelings you hold in your mind. That's not the case. They all work together. After all, you use perceptions as you're talking to yourself. And what are you talking to yourself about? You're talking about the breath. So when things are not going well, you ask yourself, what's up with the breath? Or how am I talking to myself? Or what perceptions am I holding in mind? If things are not going well, what can I change? It's going to be in one of these three things. So that's square one. This is where you get started. This is what you come back to on a regular basis to make sure you haven't gone off astray. It's also good to think about these terms, the principles of causality, the three fabrications. One as an overall checklist to make sure you've got all the issues covered. to is a series of reminders, areas where you might want to do a little bit more detailed analysis, detailed understanding. When you're talking to yourself, exactly how many conversations are going on in the mind? You've got you as the meditator talking about the breath, but there might be some other conversations going on as well. Maybe they're getting in the way. To breathe through them. Try to figure out who in the mind is talking to whom and why. And sometimes you might discover that you've picked up some attitudes that are not really good. One is the attitude, I can't do this. Two, I hear that other people, when they get their minds in concentration, have visions. Why am I not having a vision? That must be a failure. That's a bad attitude to have. You're not getting at other people's concentration. You're here to get your concentration. Your concentration is going to be different from theirs. Some people have visions. Some people have experiences of light. Other people don't. That's not a measure of their progress or concentration. Some people go through the different levels of concentration very quickly. Others go more slowly. And again, that's not a matter of whether you're better or not. Those levels of concentration have their uses. You will get nourishment from each one of them. So we're not here to jump through jhana hoops. As long as directed thought and evaluation is helpful, keep on doing it. There will come a point, though, when it doesn't seem to be giving any results, then you can experiment. You can stop talking to yourself about the breath. Just hold on to the perception, breath. Think of the image of the breath filling the whole body. Remember what the Buddha said about breath. It's not a tactical sensation at the nose. It's the energy flow throughout the entire body. Try to be fully aware of that. You notice what perceptions you have of your relationship to the breath, your space in the body, your place in the body. Sometimes we feel like we're perched up here on our shoulders, looking down at the breath. But remind yourself, the breath is all around you. You are in the entire body, from your head down to the toes. Hold that perception in mind. The breath is surrounding you, bathing you. However long it takes to bathe you, that depends on how much cleaning you need, how much refreshment you need, because it's nourishing you as it bathes you. Sometimes you've been working really hard all day, and the mind just needs to rest. You may wonder, when am I going to gain insights? The insights will come when the foundation is solid. Insights that come when the foundation is not solid are not secure, and they're not safe. They can fall down on you. It's like building a building whose foundations are weak. It can be a really beautiful building, go very high, but if foundations are not solid, the whole thing comes crashing down. So keep coming back to square one. There's a lot to learn in square one. It keeps the meditation grounded, keeps you coming back, because after all, where was the Buddha on the night of his awakening? He was under the Bodhi tree, of course. But his mind was not there. His mind was on the breath. Right here, where you are right now. So it's not the case that he left the breath until he'd completed all he needed to do with the breath. So maybe you haven't completed all you need to do with the breath yet, so work on it. Stay here. I was asked one time by someone in a tradition where they have very clearly delineated stages in the practice. You do stage one, then you're eligible for stage two, three, four. The question was, how do you know when you're meditating on your own which stage you're ready for? And the answer I gave was that you always keep coming back to the foundation. It's just that you see the foundation more clearly each time you come back. You come at it from a different angle, you get a better appreciation of it, because right here is where everything is. Those three fabrications, when you take those apart, it can lead to the deathless. So we're here to get really well acquainted with square one. As John Lee once said, once you get the mind to one and you know it thoroughly, then you can turn it into zero. The image you gave was the zeros that you put in front of numbers. You can put a two and you can put lots of zeros in front of the number. It doesn't change the meaning. They don't count. In the same way, when your mind is zero, then people can praise you or criticize you. It doesn't count. Because your mind has found something solid. So make sure this foundation is strong. Keep inspecting it to make it stronger. You don't have to go anywhere else. Everything you need to know is going to be right here.